I love the book of Psalms. Does anybody here read Psalms every day? I try to read it, Psalms every day and read at least the proverb for the day. And I was drawn to one of my favorite Psalms this week. And after pastoring 33 years, you always wonder, when's the last time I preached this, you know? And so then I got to looking online, because you can see my sermons for like the last 5 years online. So I go online and I look and try to remember it. And I thought, man, it seems like I just preached that, and I couldn't find it. But a lot of times I remember I start a sermon and then end up God changes my sermon right before the service or about halfway through the week. And then I thought, does it really matter if it's what God is speaking? It don't matter if I preached it last week. Amen. I was going to tell you a story before I started my sermon. I think I had it on my phone. I thought this was really good. A poor lady. There was a woman that received a call that her daughter was sick, and she stopped by the pharmacy to get some medication, and she got back to her car, and she found out that she had locked her keys inside the car. And the woman found an old rusty coat hanger that someone had left on the ground, and she looked at it and said, man, I don't know how to use this thing. So she bowed her head, and she asked God to send her help. And a bearded man who was wearing an old biker skull rag, and he pulled up on his Harley, and he got off his cycle, and he asked if he could help. And the lady said, yes, my daughter is very sick, and I've locked my keys in my car, and I got to get home. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car? He said, sure. He walked over to the car, and in a matter of just less than a minute, the car door was open. And she hugged the man, and through the tears, she said, thank you so much. You're a very nice man. And the man replied, lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison yesterday. I was in prison for car theft. And so the woman hugged the man again, and she said, oh, thank you, God, you even sent me a professional. Someone said that to me this morning when I was reading my messages, and I thought, that's just too funny. I was drawn to one of my favorite psalms this week, and it's Psalm 41, where David is metaphorically describing himself as being in the pits. And I think we've all been there at one time or another, feeling surrounded, feeling like you're locked in with no way out. And that's where Jesus comes along and brings deliverance. Can you say amen? I said Psalm 41, but go with me to Psalm 40. I'm sorry, Psalm 40. I want to read just the first three verses, but the entire psalm is great when you get a chance to read it later. That he spends like the first 10 verses talking about the problem, then he gets into the solution. I waited patiently for the Lord. How many patient people do we have here today? Wow. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that special power that makes teaching and preaching come easy. Father, I need your touch today in my body. I just ask you to give me strength to deliver this message today. Thank you, God, that you are an awesome God, that you're always there when we need you. So today we depend on you, we trust in you, and I just ask you to bring every thought of this message to my remembrance today that you gave me this week, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love the book of Psalms. I don't know if it's because I'm a little bit loud, Dave, or something is roaring a little bit. Most of the book of Psalms was written by David and the Shepherd King. And David was a musician, and probably more than anybody in the Bible, I relate to David. If you read the book of Psalms, it's like he was on an emotional roller coaster. When David was high, no one was higher. When David was low, he had to reach up to touch the bottom. And I'm a melancholy person. Most musicians and artists are melancholy. I think my entire staff is all phlegmatic. That's calm, easygoing. You know, Pastor Dave is like, my house is burning down. What a pretty fire. That's just, you know, that's the way he is, you know. And Pastor Dan's the same way. I don't think I've ever seen him riled in the 30 years or so that I've known him. It's just, these guys are all, Pastor Walt, he's just calm and easygoing. Even Pastor Sam is easygoing. And of course, they're all much older than me, but other than Sam. senior citizens in their 60s now. And but I love reading David because David was a worshiper. How many in here are worshipers? Come on. I love to worship my God. A lot of times I'm embarrassed because I'm riding in the car and I'm just worshiping. And I pull up to a stop sign and I'm just singing at the top of my lungs and worshiping. And somebody looks over at me like, dude, they let you out? You know? We know that this was a time when David was delivered from a great trial, but we don't have any clue of what the trial was. He just called it a horrible pit, a slimy pit, a miry clay. And David doesn't specify exactly what that pit was, but we do know from reading the Bible he went through a lot of them. Amen? It was most likely the result of David's own sin. You say, why do you say that, Pastor Keith? Because when you read down in verse 12, he says this, "For troubles without number surround me, my sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see." Have you ever been there where it's what you're going through, you know, is just a result of what you did yesterday? Now, I know none of you guys are going to admit that. There's a lot of times in our life when what we're going through today is a result of some bad seed we planted not long ago. That's good preaching, Pastor Keith. Go right on. I'm feeling you. I got you, brother. I'm not telling you that everything we go through is a result of us sin. I know there's a lot of people that say you either have sin or there's not enough faith in your life or what. That's not the case. Sometimes it's just because Satan, your adversary, is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But certainly without a doubt, there's a direct correlation between what I do today and what I'm going to face tomorrow. Life is about choices, folks. Some folks made a choice just to stay home today. What a beautiful day to sit on the couch and watch the rain. They're going to miss a good sermon. They missed some good worship today. You see, God established a law of sowing and reaping called the law of reciprocity. And it's basically the things we do today, the words we speak today, our actions today will greatly affect our life tomorrow. So regardless of the cause, David finds himself in the pits. He says in verse 2, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit." Boy, doesn't that give you just a vivid description? Slimy pit. You ever been walking in the beach or somewhere and all of a sudden you find yourself in like mud or yuck or slime, you know, and you're like, yuck, I can't stand it. I'm weird. When I'm working like in the garage or something, I have to wash my hands like every 5 minutes. I can't stand my hands dirty. You know, I've seen people who, you ought to see Pastor Sam when he comes home from work. And he's like, Tiffany, he's like a grease ball, isn't he? I mean, he just got all the slime from work on him, you know, working around those hydraulics, you know. I would die there. You could never have me work at a place like that. I come in and I wash my hands and then I go back out and they get a little bit dirty and I'm like, I can't stay. I wasn't made to do that kind of stuff. David said he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud in the mire. I know a lot of you, when you were kids, you played in the mud. Not this kid. Mm-mm. Afraid I'd get my suit dirty. And then he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. I looked up the dictionary, trying to find what it meant to be in the pits, you know. It said, the pits is any place of pain and turmoil. And I thought, ding, we've been there. Come on. How many have been there with a loved one you lost or somebody that's sick or a job situation or something? All of a sudden you find yourself in the pits and it stinks. Come on. Have you been there? I thought it was interesting. I looked up all the different translations of Psalm here to see what it said, what kind of pit it was. The NIV called it a slimy pit. The New American Standard Bible called it the pit of destruction. King James simply called it a horrible pit. And then I looked up my favorite paraphrase, The Message, and this is what it said. He lifted me out of the ditch. How many of you just felt like you were in the ditch? You know what I mean? David finds himself there now. In Psalm 34, verse 19, This is what he said earlier. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. As believers, we're going to find ourselves facing horrible, slimy pits. But the good news is, God is always there to deliver you. Now, I don't know if this is affecting anybody. Maybe this is just for me, because I just felt like I was in the pits this week. Just didn't feel good. And, you know, and then the doctor called and gave me a report. And that Kathy said, boy, you just got worse after you talked to her, didn't you? You know, and she's like, your blood count, white count is way up high. Are you feeling sick? I said, no. She said, well, I'm surprised because you're, you know, started going on. And then after she said that, I got to feeling so sick. I'm like, shut up. Stop by the office and give a urine sample. I felt like Toby walking him in the neighborhood, you know. Then I sit there and I thought, what's up with these doctor's offices? Why do you have to sit and wait so long? I'm like, I just came here to, you know, drop off something. Why do I got to wait, you know? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Somebody wrote me on Facebook the other day and just said, Pastor Keith, I don't even know who the person is. I never met him. And they're like, can you please tell me why I'm going through what I'm going through? And then she began to describe what she was going through. And I'm like, yeah, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You got a devil that hates you. Anybody, come on, be honest. Last year, this last 12 months, has anybody here been through some junk? Come on. You know, sometimes these people get like, well, I'm just going through a lot. I'm just not going to go to church anymore. And I'm like, let's swap horror stories. You want to hear mine? Yeah. Kathy told you ladies that joke the other day about the guy who got up and said, I'm not going to church today. People don't like me there and I don't feel like it. And then his wife said, well, you got two good reasons. Or his mother said, you got two reasons you ought to go. And he said, why? Number one, you're 58 years old. Number two, you're the pastor. I feel like that sometimes, you know. I'm just going to stay home. But I don't. Come on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You know how it began? David cried out to the Lord. I'm telling you, throughout the beginning, from the beginning of time, men and women have called on the name of the Lord. Something happens when you pray, church. The devil wants you to think that prayer is useless, and that's because prayer is your powerful weapon, and he doesn't want you to know how powerful it is. You give me a man or a woman that calls on the Lord, you're going to see somebody who has God intervene in their life. When I was a teenager and I used to travel and sing, do concerts all over and preach. There was a little lady, you've heard me talk about her, from Needham, Alabama. Her name was Vernell Broadhead. She was as wide as she was tall. Little hillbilly lady, you could see through her house, the cracks. She had a little shanty shack and you could literally see through the house. I stayed there once and it was heated with a wood stove and you like froze to death with quilts all over you. Man, did that woman know how to pray. I would drive to see her when I was on the road just to stop by and see her, because if I had something I needed, I would tell her and she would go to God and pray and she would get answers. I am thankful for my prayer warriors. When someone says, Pastor Keith, I'm praying for you, man, I take that as more important than if you had to put a $20 bill in my hand. Come on, I'd rather have your prayers. It means a lot to me. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. You may be down today, but I want you to determine in your heart that you're not going to stay down. You may be in the pits today, but I want you to determine in your heart you're coming out. And the first step to go where you want to get out is to cry out to the Lord. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. It's important to note, a lot of people waste a lot of time crying out to the wrong one. David knew that God was his answer. Come on, church. Sometimes you can talk to the doctor and it's like they don't even hear you. Talk to Dr. Jesus. He hears you, and He knows how you're made. He created you. Sometimes the counselor don't understand. Talk to Jesus. He's the one that made this thing. Come on. I'm not saying anything wrong with doctors or counselors or anything like that. I'm just saying, cry out to God first. Psalm 50 and verse 15, David said this, or God said this, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Doesn't that make it sound like sometimes God allows the day of trouble to come just so we will call on Him? I'm going to tell you, you get too comfortable, be careful. Something's going to come along. I remember a time in my life when I prayed, God, I am so stinking at ease in Zion. Would you do something to wake me up? Man, did I have trouble. I never prayed that again. But have you been there? You get comfortable and cozy? You know why this place isn't filled today? There's too many people at ease in Zion. They're comfortable and cozy. And when a problem comes, they'll be here. Come on. They'll call on God once the problems start happening. Come on, church. Sometimes it takes years of praying and crying out to God. And then sometimes it just happens instantly and your prayer is answered. But one thing to note, David did say, I waited patiently on the Lord. Something I struggle with. I don't like to wait in traffic. I don't like to wait for an elevator. I don't even like to wait for my dinner. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. I love in Jeremiah when he says, call on me and I will answer you and I will teach you great and mighty things, things which you do not know. There's something that comes from waiting on God. Is there anybody here that's not always real patient when it comes to going through trials? Come on. It's hard, isn't it? It really is. It's very hard. David said in Psalm 37, he said, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. Remember, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So when God says, I'll see you tomorrow, it might be a while. Right? David says, don't fret when it looks like these evil people are prospering and they're carrying out their wicked schemes and you're still waiting on God. Just wait patiently. Ever been to the doctor's office or a waiting room at the emergency room? I remember one time, I haven't seen Kathy sick 5 times in our entire 3,200 years of marriage, or however long we've been married. And she never gets sick, but there was one time she was so sick I thought she was going to die. And I took her to the emergency room, and they're like, would you just go there and have a seat? And I said, no. She said, my wife needs to be seen now. The lady said, but we got all these people here. And I finally looked at her and said, lady, let me get one thing straight. I'm going to own this hospital if you don't get my wife back there right now and help her breathe. Man, those doors flung open, the people came out, and boom, we were in there in a second. They were working on her like nothing you could ever imagine. I know you're back there thinking, I can't believe our pastor did that. I was scared. She couldn't breathe. Come on. But sometimes you go and you just wait and you wait and you wait. It drives me nuts. Sometimes I look at my watch and then I take it off and shake it, see if it's working. John Ortberg said this. He said, what God does in us while we're waiting is as important as what it is we're waiting for. That's heavy. It's that process when God has us waiting, He's building character in us. Amen. Let's talk about this for a minute. God has perfect timing. He has perfect timing. While we're waiting, God is busy working. And I know there's times we think we have to help Him out. You don't have to do His job. He's very good at it. There was a woman who her car stalled in traffic and she looked under the hood in vain. She's trying to see what it is and there's just smoke coming out. And she has no clue of what's going on. And there's a driver behind her. He's just honking his horn relentlessly. Finally, she had had enough, and she walked back to his car, and she offered real sweetly. She said, I don't know what's the matter with my car. She said, but if you want to go look under the hood, I'll stay here and honk for you. I thought that was good. Waiting on God. The Bible tells me in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Teach us, Lord, to wait. I'm convinced that so many people miss it 5 minutes before God's about ready to come through for them. Because the devil convinces them that somehow God has not heard their request. Come on, church. Are you with me? I shared this with Kathy. She said I probably shared it before, but I don't know. I don't remember if I did or not. But the Chinese bamboo tree is one of the greatest mysteries to me, how it works. They're really tall. But like any other plant, the growth of the Chinese bamboo tree requires nurturing, water, fertile soil, and sunshine. And here's the amazing thing. The first year you plant it, there's no signs of activity. You still got to water it. Still got to fertilize it. In the second year, zero growth. Nothing comes through the soil. Third year, nothing. The fourth year, nothing. And then in the fifth year, something amazing happens. Behold a miracle. We experience growth. And what growth it is. Do you know the Chinese bamboo tree in that fifth year grows 80 to 90 feet in just 6 weeks? Look it up. It's true. 5 years, nothing. You don't even see anything come through the ground. But something is happening. If you get impatient and you go digging under the ground, you're going to you're going to mess it up. Some stuff's going on underneath there. And a root structure is growing that's going to prepare it to hold that tall tree. And then in a matter of 6 weeks, 80 to 90 feet tall, that thing sprouts and just starts going. Wow. See, we live in such a quick fix society, a microwave society, that we get upset if we have to wait 2 minutes for a traffic light. But it's during the waiting process, like Wartburg says, that God's building this amazing root structure in our life. He's forming trust where you'll trust God. Some people are waiting. Right now, you're waiting on God for something. You say, Pastor Keith, you don't have a clue how long I've been waiting. No, but God does. It may have been 5 years, but listen, something's going on underneath the ground. You still got to water that seed. You still got to nurture that soil. Are you with me? But during that waiting process, God's building this amazing root structure in our life. He's forming trust, and He's building faith in our hearts that's going to carry us through the darkest storm. Sometimes when I think, it was over 33 years ago that God called me to start this church, back when I had hair. Had no idea it would be for this long. No clue. No clue of what I was getting into. And I know God made me some promises, and He made me some statements in my heart, and some of them are yet to be fulfilled. But listen, I'm still waiting on God. Kathy asked me the other day, said, are you bothered by the fact that the crowd's been down lately? I said, you know what? The crowd size means absolutely nothing to me. Nothing. Now, honestly, usually the finances is tied to the crowd. So we've been down about 30%, you know, financially. But you know what? We still paid every bill. Does it matter? Come on, church. Yeah, I would love to see this place packed for the sole reason that more people are being affected by the gospel and we're seeing souls get saved. But listen, I'm not moved by this. This doesn't discourage me or make me want to quit just because there isn't a big crowd. It's just nice to have more room sometimes, isn't it? Imagine if you all had to squish in this morning. Let's try that one Sunday. Everybody has to sit in this section. How many want to be like the Chinese bamboo tree and just see this is your fifth year? This is a year for your marriage. This is a year for your health where you're going to see that 80 or 90 foot growth. Come on, church. Then I love this. Then the Lord delivered David. He said he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. It's weird. When I was reading this verse yesterday, I was taken back into time when I was about 9 years old. And a friend and I had gone ice skating on a river. And we got way down in the river, and while we were down there, the sun had started melting some of the ice. And on our way back, man, I started falling through the ice. We were skating, trying to get back and back to the house. And it was a horrible experience. I just remember falling through, you know, that ice. And then, what are you going to do? Take your skates off and walk, you know, barefooted in the water or on the, you know, along the riverbed or what? But it was a horrible experience. But I just remember how good it finally felt to climb out of that thing and put my feet on solid ground. Sometimes that's life. You feel like you're falling through. You feel like you're in slimy mud. You feel like you're in this pit. Then all of a sudden you get that solid rock ground. And listen, it's not a place, it's a person. You with me? It's a person, it's not a place. David said this in Psalm 30, verse 2 and 3. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sometimes it's healing from the pit of sickness. Man, have you ever been so sick you could hardly hold your head up? And all of a sudden, sweet deliverance comes. It's coming for you. Some of you in here today, you're still going through it. Listen, it's coming. It's coming. Be patient. Wait on God. It's coming. And sometimes it's David's pit was deliverance from his enemies. Man, I was reading Psalm 69. David said, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. Have you ever done that? I mean, you prayed so much your throat was sore. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. That's not hard for me. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I don't know if you've ever had an evil person attack you, but I have. I've had someone who set out to destroy my life and began making their evil phone calls and doing all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you what, it was like every day you wake up to a new barrage of garbage. I know what David was talking about here. And sometimes it's in that. All of a sudden, God delivers. David knew what it was to have enemies. They sought his throne. There were those who sought out his life. Sometimes when evil people attack us, we just have to call out to the Lord and wait patiently for his deliverance. And then, sometimes when I read through the Psalms, I see that David was delivered from his own guilt and shame. Have you been there? Psalm 51 is one of my favorite Psalms. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And he goes on to say, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. It's powerful. David says here, my sin is always before me. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And sometimes your pit is your past. The devil wants to bring your past and constantly accuse you and constantly attack you and say, you failed, you've done this, you've done that. Come on. There's no deeper pit than the pit of shame and guilt. It's constantly there to tear you down. But cry out to the Lord, wait for him, and he'll deliver you, and he'll set your feet on a solid rock. I don't know if you appreciate the fact that you attend a Grace Church, but listen, grace will cure you from guilt and shame. It's the only remedy, church. The Lord delivers David. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. Look at that. He gave me a firm place to stand. The rock is not a place, it's a person. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Come on. I'm running to the rock of my salvation, going to the stone that the builder rejected. Running to the mountains, and the mountains stand by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I'm going to run to the rock. Man, I can't believe I remember that. Jesus is our rock. Say amen. Rock of my salvation. And then, oh, we get to the good part. God gives David a new song. He put a new song in my mouth, which was probably Psalm 40. A hymn of praise to our God. I don't know how many of you are songwriters, but for me, there's nothing like the day I write a song. A couple weeks ago, I wrote that new song. Man, I'm telling you what, it just felt so good when God put a new song in my heart. Most of my songs come from what I go through, just like David. Do you know that the book of Psalms was really a songbook? These are really songs that David wrote. He sang them. He played his harp and he sang them. And now he's saying, as a result of coming out of this pit, I've got a new song in my heart. Come on. A new song in my mouth. Because God has delivered me. It's a song of deliverance. I know a lot of people think that Kathy and I live in a bubble and we don't ever have any problems because we're pastor and his wife. That's far from the truth. Sometimes when I wake up and something attacks me head on and I'm going through a trial, this is what I say. Devil, you're building a testimony. See, without the test, there is no testimony. Devil, you're building a testimony. And I'll share how God brought me out of this horrible, slimy pit, out of the miry clay. Psalm 96, verse 1 says this, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Do you know that's a command? We're a people that like to sing. Are you with me? We're a people that like to sing. We sing in the shower. Man, I was playing piano today and I listened, there's Franny just over there singing out loud. I'm like, girl, play the piano. You're supposed to play the piano. I can't sing when I'm playing sometimes because I'm playing like a strings or something and my mind's focusing on the melody I want to play. So that's why some of you ask me, why do you sing sometimes, Pastor Keith? Then you stop, then you sing, then you stop. It's because I'm busy. But listen, we're a people that like to sing. Sometimes I even hear Kathy just singing. Help me, Jesus. I'm just kidding, sweetheart. I'm going to let you be on my next record. And I remember my daughter, Sarah, she loves singing. She was a little kid. She'd come in, Dad, I wrote a new song. I'm like, you did? And so made her first CD, I think, when she was 8 years old or something. Put her picture on it and everything. She loves singing. You sing in the car? You sing in the shower? Come on. I think the only one I've never heard sing is Pastor Dan. Anybody know if he has a... Can he sing in tune? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This verse always cracks me up because it makes it sound like we're to go up to each other and go, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, aren't we? Amen. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's a spiritual song? I believe that's when you sing in tongues. You just sing in your prayer language and you're singing and you don't know what it means, but you're just singing it. singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. I'll never forget, I don't remember who it was now, but somebody came up to me here at the church and said, Pastor Keith, I know you look out at me and I'm never singing during praise and worship, but I want you to know I'm singing on the inside. He says, I have a terrible voice, and so I don't sing at church, but when during the whole worship, I'm singing on the inside. I said, well, that's cool. Just hope you don't pay your bills that way. Hope you don't tell your wife you love her that way. I'm telling you I love you on the inside. I don't say anything outside. God wants to hear you. Sing. Doesn't matter if it's terrible. We have a lot of terrible singers. Oh, okay. That happens when you get to be 90. Does anybody feel sorry for him when I do that? That guy, he tears me up all the time. I mean, I just, this is the only chance I have to get even. Oh, I love Ron. And then I like this. Look at this. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Do you know it's contagious? When people see you singing and see you happy, they want to know, why are you happy? Why are you different than everybody else? Come on, they will. They work with you, they see you, and they say, something's different about you. You just always got a song in your heart. David's saying that. He says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Why? Because you're singing when everybody else has got the mully grubs. Focused on all the junk going on in the world today. Our deliverance from the pits can often lead to others coming to know Jesus Christ. See, the biggest question people have asked me throughout the years is, can you tell me why bad things happen to good people? I mean, that's the number one question that I've basically been asked since I've been pastoring. And yes, Corinthians tells us that we comfort others with the same comfort we ourselves have been comforted with. In other words, we go through things so God will prepare us with a ministry. Your pit from yesterday is your ministry today. You can share now. And you can say, I know how you feel because I was there yesterday. I went through that. Many will see and fear. It's not talking about a scary fear. It's talking about that awesome reverence of God. Put their trust in the Lord. I don't know why God put this upon my heart today, but I do believe that He wouldn't have done this if there was not someone here today who's going through the pits. And you'd say, Pastor Keith, as you shared this today, while it's been some humor and all that, there's been a real serious side of this that I'm there. I'm going through that now where I feel surrounded. I feel like there's no way out. I've called unto God, like David said, till my throat's sore. I've looked for Him till my eyes are already tired just because they've been looking for God to show up and He hasn't showed up. It's deliverance time. I believe it's time. God has ordained this day for you to see deliverance from your pit. I don't normally do this, but I just want every head bowed for a minute. No one's looking around. I'm going to ask you today, if you'd say, Pastor Keith, this is where I'm at. It's no accident that you preached this sermon today because it was for me. I want you just to just quietly step out of your seat. I want you to walk down front here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do anything. Just want you to come and stand right here because I'm praying that today's your D-Day. Today's your deliverance day. And you've been going through it, and you'd say it's been painful, it's been hard, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial thing, whether it's, you know, a marital problem, whatever it is. I want you to just say, Pastor Keith, I want that deliverance today, and I want you to come and stand right here across the front. I'm going to wait just for a moment. And if you're here today, I want to pray that today is your day of deliverance. Come on, obey God. Those of you who came forward today, I want you to believe in your heart as you walk away from the front of this church today that God has reached down His hand and He has pulled you out of that miry pit. And He's put your feet on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the enemy will be there to accuse you, and he'll try to make you think nothing happened. But listen, it did. You cried to the Lord today. And He heard your cry. And I believe with all my heart He delivered you. And I really believe some eternal things happened today. Such a good feeling to know when you hear from God. It really is. It's such a good feeling to know when you hear from God. And I believe God knew what this day was ordained to be. And I believe He's touched some folks today. Can you say amen?